From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today, this last year, released an album called By Request on Compass Records. It's AJ Croce. Hello, sir. Welcome. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's a fantastic record of a collection of fantastic songs, some of them very well known, others not quite so well known. I want to talk about some of those more specifically in just a minute. I know you are at the moment in Florida, and prior to that, you've been spending some time in Nashville for a number of years, but you're originally like a West Coast guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was born in Philadelphia, but I grew up out in San Diego.
And growing up, you have talked about listening to classic rock and roll, jazz, blues, soul music. You and I are about the same age. That is not the stuff I grew up listening to. I was listening to the pop music that was on the radio and the rock music of the era. Where did that connection get made for you to hear all of this stuff that predates your birthday?
Well, I never felt like music was of a particular genre. I mean, we listen to classical music, some people do, and it's, you know, it's hundreds of years old. It's one of those things where music, good music, is timeless. And so it was never one of those things. Of course, I listened to Top 40 radio when I was a kid, and I would go and I would try and sit down at the piano and play along with McCartney or play along with an Elton John song or Yellow or David Bowie or the Stones or whatever it was. I listened to, you know, my dad's record collection, and there were musicians around a lot, and I got turned on to Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder as a kid. You know, I had difficulty seeing, I'd lost my sight, and that was a real entrance to that music. And my dad's record collection was really eclectic. There was, you know, Mississippi John Hurt and Blind Blake and Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, but then there was Otis Redding and Sam Cooke and Ike and Tina and the Stones, and, you know, and then there was folk music, old Elizabethan style folk music, or Gordon Lightfoot, or Woody Guthrie, you know. It was all over the map.
So early on, you were starting to play, I don't know if professionally is the right word, I don't know if you were getting paid for the gig, but you had some gigs at Croce's, conveniently named, conveniently located, a club that was your mom's, right? Like, you were playing piano?
Mm-hmm. I was playing piano and singing, and they didn't have a license because of the place where they were at to have amplified music, so I had to sing over the piano, which started me with a singing style that's not really ideal for the long term, and over time it put stress on my voice. But it was one of those things that I played there once a week, sometimes twice a week, until I was about 19 or so. And then I also played at other jazz clubs and piano bars. So I was making a living by the time I was 15.
No kidding. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Tell me about, and tell folks who are unfamiliar about, Floyd Dixon.
Floyd Dixon was a blues piano player and songwriter. Took me under his wing when I was about 16. And had invited me to open up for him, and then we would play like an encore together, and we would do this thing where we would play like the four-handed piano, Mead, Lux, Lewis, Albert Ammons, or, you know, Albert Ammons, Pete Johnson thing, or it could be anything, but that sort of era of 40s boogie stuff is what we'd play. He also taught me, like, how long to keep a set list, you know, how often do you need to change things up? How do you dress for a gig? Always, dress right and with respect for the audience and all this stuff, you know, always get paid in cash, you know, all of these kind of things that were, you know, at the time, it was all good advice, even though he had been doing it for years. He was part of the Central Avenue blues scene starting in the 50s.
Wow. So you're making a living as a pianist and singer as a teenager. By 21, you are out touring with the likes of Ray Charles and B.B. King, which is incredible. You have talked about the apprehension of telling friends, family about some of the opportunities because you didn't know how they would kind of react to that. You didn't want anybody to feel like they hadn't gotten the shake that you had gotten. And has that, I mean, you've been doing this now over 30 years. Like, has that feeling ever changed, or does it still kind of pick at you from time to time when great opportunities come along?
Yeah, I think it's pretty persistent, honestly. You know, it just depends on who you're talking with. You know, I think I've had to, like anyone that does what I do, you pay attention and you realize that it's some people are interested in hearing the stories and other people aren't, and just need to be respectful of that. And also, you know, because I was in San Diego as a teenager, you know, through most of my 20s and 30s, honestly, even though I was traveling a lot, I still came back. It wasn't the music center that LA is or Nashville is or New York was. So I didn't have as many people around me that were doing it full time. You know, there were, so that added to it. There weren't as many people I could call and say, "What? How do you deal with this? What do you talk about? You know, what's?" I think it was just, it was a new experience. Now it's a, you know, a comfortable thing, but I think about it.
AJ Croce is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called By Request, out on Compass. AJCrocemusic.com is his web address. So I know that you are quite accomplished on both piano and guitar. What do you want to play first for us, and which instrument are you going to sit down at?
I'm going to play a song called Better Day, which is by Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. And I'm playing this on an old Gibson, and just having fun. I hope you dig it.
Fantastic. It's AJ Croce on JPR Live Sessions.
Up on the mountain, look down in the sea, thinking about the woman, couldn't agree. That's all right, I don't worry no child, 'cause that will be a better day. When I had money, oh money, I had friends, ain't got a dime, like a roll without a name. But that's all right, I don't worry no child, 'cause that will be a better day. Oh, listen here, people, I need a break. Good things will come to those that wait. That's all right, I don't worry no child, 'cause that will be a better day. When I had money, oh money, I had friends, I ain't got a dime, like a roll without a name. But that's all right, I don't worry no child, 'cause that will be a better day. Oh, it will, that will be a better day. That will be a better day.
That is called Better Day. Brownie McGee tune. Robin Ford makes an appearance on that one, as it appears on the new record called By Request. AJCrocemusic.com is the web address to learn more. Robin is like a neighbor of yours in Nashville, right?
He is, and an old friend. He was on my first album, all of my first album, that was produced by John Simon and T-Bone Burnett. And then he was on some of my second album as well. And we'd stayed in touch. Couple years back, I was flying from New York back home to Nashville, and he was on the flight, and I said, "Where are you living?" And he said, "Oh, it's East Nashville, Five Points area." I said, "Me too. Where at?" Turns out he was across the street from me. And when it sounded like it was Jeff Beck practicing across the street, it was Robin Ford.
So this is now, album number 10, right? There's been a combination of blues, soul, pop, jazz, rock and roll. When you sit down at home, when you're by yourself and you sit down to play a tune or create a tune, do you ever think to yourself, I'm going to play some blues or I'm going to play some jazz? Or do you just sort of let it come out?
It's always in my head.
Yeah.
It really is. It's and it's in the moment. And I don't think I'm orthodox in any of those genres. I think that I've borrowed bits and pieces from all of those different places. And when I sit down, I can say, well, you know, this is kind of a change that you would have heard in a jazz tune, but it's not a jazz tune. This is the kind of change you would have heard in this kind of song. You know, I can pinpoint even songs that used it, multiple songs that might have used that. Try not to get too hung up on that while I'm writing, or else I'd never finish anything. And so, you know, I think there's a certain eclecticism, you know, about my style of playing and singing, but I think it's my, honestly, my piano playing and my vocals that generally tie this stuff together and make it recognizably me. Certainly the way I play piano is unique, and I think because of that, you can hear it's me playing. You know, after a few notes, you know it's me playing. I think that's, I just try and make it my own.
Over your career, you have played thousands of songs. In your lifetime, you have heard tens of thousands of songs. Why are these 12 songs on your new record?
It's a good question. I narrowed it down from probably 100 tunes, down to maybe 20 tunes, down to 12. And I think it was in some ways less about the song, because there was so many great songs, so many great writers and performers who had influenced me. I think it was more about the evening that I played these songs for friends, and we all hung out at my place. And, you know, and so it was a special evening, and it was sitting around with friends who were requesting stuff. And sometimes they were musicians and we played together, and sometimes they were just, you know, friends that love music and would go, hey, do you know this Billy Preston song? Do you know this Tom Waits song? Do you know this? Whatever it might have been. And this is the sort of distilled version of that.
Well, I wonder if you might slide over to the piano and play us one from there.
Sure. A song by one of my heroes, a guy named Alan Toussaint out
fantastic.
Of New Orleans.
What's it called?
Brickyard Blues.
All right. It's AJ Croce on JPR Live Sessions.
Oh, I tried to run my game. She said, man, that's the same old thing I've heard before. I'm too tired to go to your show. Again and again, well, she started to explain. She said, man, I ain't saying what you're playing. Just can't make it. I just can't take it anymore. Play something sweet, now make it mellow. Something I can see my teeth in like jello. Well, something I can understand, yes. Play me some Brickyard Blue. Play something sweet, make it funky. They lay back and grin like a monkey. Well, something I can understand, yes. Play me some Brickyard Blue. I started to sweat. She said, don't get upset, 'cause you just might break a string, and that won't do a thing for your show. And so I said to myself, I said, self, can you see what is sailing through my soul? Got to have some more, don't you know? Play something sweet, make it mellow. Something I can say my teeth in like jello. Something I can understand, yes. Play me some Brickyard Blues. Play something sweet, make it funky. Let me lay back and grin like a monkey. Well, something I can understand, yes. Play me some Brickyard Blues. Ooh, it's enough to make a light. In the dark, it's enough to make a bite. Just a bark, it's enough to make a body. Move around, it's enough to make a rabbit. Hug a hound, play something sweet. Now make it mellow. Something I can sink my teeth in like jello. Well, something I can understand, yes. Some Brickyard Blue. Play something sweet, now make it funky. Let me lay back and grin like a monkey. Well, something I can understand, yes. Play me some Brickyard Blue.
Brickyard Blues. A.J. Croce is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That tune and Better Day are both from the new album called By Request, out on Compass Records. You have talked in recent years about spending, I guess, decades kind of purposely avoiding your father's music while you were coming up making a name for yourself. And that has changed more recently as you've kind of gone back through some archives, done some digitizing of old cassette tapes and stuff. I know you didn't know him, right? Like you were two or something when he passed.
Yeah.
What have you learned about your dad musically from that project of going back through some archives and digitizing? And maybe, you know, what surprises did you uncover?
I was fortunate, even though I didn't grow up with my father, he recorded almost everything. Every song he was writing, every song he was practicing of someone else's to perform on the weekends, you know. He
now do you do that now too?
When friends came over, he would record. I don't. This is about as much as I record at home, the way we're doing it right now. But you know, one of the things that that I really got from it was there was one particular tape that I played, and it had all of these really obscure old songs, Bessie Smith stuff, Pink Anderson. There was a Jimmy Rogers song that was, you know, lesser known, all kinds of music, Fats Waller. And these were not just artists that I had covered, you know, from the time I was 12 or 13. These were these were actual songs like You're Not the Only Oyster in the Stew, or these things that were oddball songs. And,
wow.
And that particular one ended up being on my first demo for Columbia when I was 18 or something, 19 years old. So it was eerie, you know, to hear the similarities. Of course, I knew where he got, you know, his ideas from in a certain way, at least from the musical influence I knew, and some of the lyrical influence, I knew that Lieber and Stoller were a big influence. Jimmy Reed was a big influence. As a fingerstyle player, Mississippi John Hurt was a big influence. Woody Guthrie was a big influence. But then when it came to some of that more sort of sensitive stuff, like Operator or Time in a Bottle or These Dreams or something like that, Lover's Cross, it really comes from a more classical folk, Elizabethan folk tradition.
In the last couple of years, you have started doing some Croce performances where you play some of those tunes from your dad. Has that given you a little bit different perspective on songwriting that differs from the way you create music?
Not really. You know, he had such an amazing gift as a storyteller. And so regardless of whether it was a funny song like Don't Mess Around with Jim or Car Wash Blues or something, or it was serious, there was it was always a good story. And he had a great sense of humor. I think the thing he was great at that I really took from it, the way I have taken from all great artists, is this universal story, this thing that anyone can understand and feel. And it's soulful, you know, it's something that, you know, trying to tell a story that people can really dig into and feel like they identify with that.
I don't want to get too far out in front of this current project because there is so much that is worth discovering on By Request. But you've already got another album in the works, and you just a moment ago mentioned storytelling. These are going to be very personal stories.
Absolutely. It's been a crazy time, you know. my wife passed away a couple years back in 2018.
I'm sorry.
And I had started recording this album in 2019. And so I already had songs that were going to be on the next record. And in the process over these couple years, I've written almost every day I write. And so it's really fun to dive into that. And I'm going to get to pick and choose more so than I've been able to do in a long time. Because even though I write all the time, I write every day and it's an exercise, the more sort of condensed the time is, the less you have, honestly, the less material you feel is really strong or unique enough that it's not too much like something else. So in this case, with the pandemic and with all of this other time that I've had to be creative and write, I just have material that I'm proud of.
Wow. Any timeline for when we might see that or hear that?
Well, I have a feeling I'll probably go into the studio this year and at least get started with a few ideas. Yeah.
Is that weird? I mean, is that a weird thing to kind of have a collection of stuff that's quote unquote ready and then just have to sit on it for such a long time because you're in the middle of a tour or a promotional campaign for a previous collection of stuff?
It's part of my life. You know, it's a cycle. It's like an 18-month cycle, usually. Sometimes 2 years, depending on how lucky you are with people getting into it or tours going well and getting extended. But it is like that. It's strange. You write, you record, you tour, and then get a short break where you're writing, and then you record, and then you tour some more. So it's like it's the way my life has been since I was 19, you know.
So for the first time, write, record, don't tour.
Don't tour.
What have you been doing to occupy that hole in your life?
I've been doing a lot of stuff. I started working on a number of film projects, a few documentaries, and a feature film project. Been on the production side of some of this, as well as the music side. So that's been really unique and new to me. I had worked, you know, in a lot of different fields or facets of the music business as an independent label, as a publishing company, and obviously as an artist. This is kind of new. I wouldn't have had time to do that. The other thing is I've had so much time to really push myself on all the instruments that I play and practice every day and work at becoming better and pushing the genres, you know, practicing a lot of world music of all varieties, a lot of Latin music, a lot of some classical music. It all requires different posture. It requires a different way of sitting at the piano or sitting with the guitar. Each thing has that element to it. Some Indian music, have a project I've been working on with a group called Anti-Ballas, who are sort of a world beat soul group, you know?
Yeah, we play their stuff, yeah.
And so, yeah, there's actually two projects, that musical projects, that are in the works right now.
AJ Croce, I'm so glad you had time to do this with us. Thanks for being my guest.
Hey, thank you so much.
The new record is called By Request. It is a collection of tunes from Neil Young, Sam Cooke, Randy Newman, Beach Boys, and those already mentioned. He joins me from Florida for our session today. AJCrocheMusic.com is the web address. Will you play one more tune for us?
Absolutely. I'll play something on guitar, since I got one.
You probably have more than one, I'm guessing.
I do. Just have one with me, though. This is Can't Nobody Love You, which I borrowed from Solomon Burke.
Fantastic.
Well, can't nobody love you, 'cause they don't know how love you like I do. Well, can't nobody love you, they don't know how to love you like I do. I love you in the morning, love you late at night. Ain't gonna stop loving you till you tell me everything's alright. Well, can't nobody love you, 'cause they don't know how to love you like I do. Well, can't nobody kiss you, they don't know how to kiss you like I do. And can't nobody talk to you, they don't know how to talk the way I do. Sam Cooke bought you cake and ice cream, call you cherry pie. Ray Charles call you his sunshine, you're the apple of my eye. Well, can't nobody love you, 'cause they don't know how to love you like I do. No, they don't know how to love you like I do.
Can't Nobody Love You. AJ Croce is playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. It's a tune from the new record called By Request, out on Compass Records. AJCrocheMusic.com, the website. AJ, thanks again. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. Take care.